Welcome to Global Oil Media Stocks to Watch. I'm Michael Suido. I'm speaking today with Robin Goad. He's the CEO and president of Fortune Minerals. They're a Canadian mining company focused on developing a critical minerals project in Canada's Northwest Territories and Alberta. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. Pleasure to be here.
You know, I saw a photo of you taken up by your company's biggest project. It's called NICO, that's N-I-C-O, and it's up in Canada's Northwest Territories. I got to say, it looks absolutely gorgeous. Tell us about it.
Well, it is in a unique part geography of the Northwest Territories called the Bear Province. This is an area that has geology, basically, that produces a lot of topography. So it's so you get nice rolling hills and beautiful lakes.
Yeah, I saw those forests and hills and lakes. Love to go up and visit it sometime. If we look a bit at the history, about 28 years ago, your company discovered the NICO deposit. It contains gold, copper, something called bismuth, which is an environmentally friendly substitute for lead. It's actually best known as the active ingredient in the nausea relief medication Pepto-Bismol. And the site also has cobalt, which is a high-strength magnetic metal used in electric vehicles, smartphones, computers, and even power storage. Now, your company, it's not just a miner, though. It's also planning to build a refinery to process concentrates from your critical mineral deposits and move up the value chain. Really curious about this. Why is vertical integration a key part of your company's strategy?
Sure. So vertical integration is really a function of the complex ores and concentrates that we're going to be extracting. So we are in an energy transition right now, which is focused on new technologies. And those new technologies require a completely different suite of metals to enable it. Historically, Canadian mining companies have produced concentrates and simply sold those off to smelters and refineries in Asia. So what the transition to these new metals requires new process technologies to properly recover or maximize the metallurgical performance of the project. And quite frankly, the processing facilities just don't exist here in North America. This is a very important political issue because if we're going to have new technologies, particularly the transition to electric vehicles, we need to have those raw materials available here in North America. Because right now, the metals that we're going to extract are primarily produced in China or controlled by China, and they're going to be also obviously using those materials in their own manufacturing industries. So this is very important to Canada, to Western democracies, the United States, and also to our manufacturing industries.
It's interesting that you highlight that geopolitical, that strategic nature of the business of critical minerals, of bringing things closer to home, to North America, for North American economies. Very important, definitely a topic that is top of mind. Now, not too long ago, Fortune Minerals announced that it has secured an extension for an option to purchase a refinery in Alberta, Canada, for the NICO project. What makes this site acquisition pivotal for the project's success?
Yeah, so what we're effectively doing here is leveraging the existing skill set, knowledge, services, everything that's already in place in the petrochemicals industry north of Edmonton. So we found that we needed to do the downstream processing in a more southern location because it's very expensive to operate in the Northwest Territories. The reagents that we use, the skill set that we will need to operate our refinery just simply isn't available up in a remote part of the country. So we were previously looking at another site in Saskatchewan, but Alberta is really the ideal location to do this. It has the lowest combined tax rate of any jurisdiction in Canada. It has the planning approvals already in place. And this is really important because you don't want to go through very expensive permitting processes and then find out that the planning approvals aren't there. So there are already critical minerals facilities operating in the same jurisdiction, as well as the opportunity to leverage those. There's sulfuric acid available, oxygen, Lime is our number one reagent, all located within about 15 kilometers of the site. And they're there today because there's an existing petrochemicals industry. Alberta needs to diversify away from hydrocarbons. And this is a natural segue to essentially do the same thing they're already doing, except producing metals instead of hydrocarbons.
All right. So in some another way of looking at it is that you're helping transform Alberta's economy, like you say, from the fossil fuel to something more green.
Yeah. And there's something else I should probably add, Michael, is the you may or may not be aware, but we have signed a process collaboration with Rio Tinto. This is the second largest mining company in the world. And what we will be doing in at our Alberta refinery is not only processing materials from our proposed mine and concentrator up in the Northwest Territories, but we're also assessing the feasibility of taking waste products from the Kennecott smelter in Utah and shipping those up to Alberta and be able to augment our production of both cobalt and bismuth. So this is an important sort of green message, because we are basically extracting more metals from what would otherwise be a waste product. And we're also augmenting the production at the refinery to spread the costs for building the high capital costs of vertical integration.
Excellent. I want to turn now to funding and to your company's relationship with the Canadian government. Your project has received funding of about $880,000 Canadian dollars from the Canadian government. That's to support metallurgical testing, and it underscores the importance of the critical mineral sector to Western governments. So tell us a bit more about your strategy and relationships with government to secure this type of funding.
Sure. The Western democracies, European Union, the United States, Canada have all recognized that they have significant exposure in not really having these important critical minerals available to enable their economies and the energy transition. So unfortunately, the capital markets have been very difficult for mining in the past. We see a transition. Actually, there seems to be a very current trend to investment dollars flowing back into mining right now. And but the governments have recognized that they're going to need to support these projects if they're to be successful. The Canadian government itself has announced $3.8 billion in financial assistance to enable more North American critical minerals projects. We expect to get significantly more support from both the U.S. and the Canadian governments at the construction phase of our project, because we tick a lot of boxes. We have important metals. Cobalt is used for the to make the cathodes of the lithium ion batteries. Essentially, it gives you the range, but also the rechargeability. We do also have the largest deposit of bismuth in the world. Bismuth is not just an eco metal used in environmental applications, but it's also used in manganese bismuth magnets, which would enable the electric vehicle powertrains. If you have a DC electric motor, that needs magnets, and those are typically using rare earth elements. Recent work by the Department of Energy in the United States has determined that manganese bismuth magnets are lower cost, have a lower environmental footprint, and are superior to rare earth element magnets in many ways. Plus, it's being used, as we talked about, in environmental replacement, replacing lead because of lead toxicity concerns, and brass and solders. But also, it's being used to plug oil and gas wells to prevent leakage of greenhouse gas emissions as well. So we took many boxes, having the metals that are used in the energy transition, vertical integration, indigenous participation. We also have legacy infrastructure being provided by our project's development. So that infrastructure will be used by communities and stakeholders after the deposit's been long gone. But I think the most important thing is the North American processing. And we should be hearing much more about government support for our particular project in the near future.
Well, I want to encourage anyone who's watching now, after the video, not now, go look up bismuth. Okay, this is a critical mineral. You're just hearing some of the many uses, and I think that's got to be the lesson for today. Learn about bismuth. Now, speaking about minerals, the NICO project has considerable reserves. You've invested a lot of money in it as well, taking it from an in-house discovery to a near-term producer. Given that substantial groundwork has already been laid, what's next? What can we expect in the year ahead?
So we expect to be announcing some near-term additional funding. I can't talk about that at the present time, but these funds would support the completion of an updated feasibility study to reflect the new refinery site, plus some of the optimizations we've made to produce a more financially robust project. There is permitting work that still needs to be done at the Alberta site, as well as up in the Northwest Territories. We're doing a pilot plant, which is in process right now, and that work will be completed over the next few months. And what we're trying to do essentially is to complete all the gaps to take this project to a financing decision in about 14 to 16 months from now. At that point, we're hoping that we will have secured the project financing to build the vertically integrated project, which may involve partnerships, but it'll also involve a fair bit of government support for the project, primarily directed at things like infrastructure.
All right, well, you mentioned financing, so let's take a look at the investor side of the equation now. It's been a rough time for mining and mining exploration companies, and Fortune Minerals is no exception. Its stock is in a bear market. Robin, you've been in the business for a long time. What do you say to investors? Why is Fortune Minerals a compelling investment opportunity for this year and beyond?
One of the things I like to point out is that it takes a long time to develop a mineral deposit, typically about 20 years. And all of the heavy lifting has already been done for this project. We've spent $137 million to date. We have an asset in the ground, which is proven. We have done all the engineering. We have a positive feasibility study, which is going to be updated. We have the major permitting permits already in place. We've completed an environmental assessment in the Northwest Territories. We have the major mining permits in the Northwest Territories. But I think it's also timing. We have the commodities that are very important in today's environment. So not just the critical minerals, which have essential use in the energy transition and new technologies, but we also have over 1 million ounces of gold. And you may have noticed the gold is hitting new highs every day. And although people are primarily focused on the critical minerals, gold is the ultimate co-product because it's essentially cash, and it can be converted to cash in financing. It can be converted to cash during operations, or even pre-sold. So it's also a very integral part of the project. So just the 1 million ounces of gold is worth, you know, over $2 billion right now. In fact, we have several $1 billion worth of metal in the ground. Cobalt is the dominant metal, followed by gold, then bismuth, and then copper.
Absolutely fascinating. Billions of dollars worth of assets in the ground. Robin, thank you so much for taking us up to Canada's Northwest Territories and Alberta with you. Really look forward to hearing more about your cobalt and other critical mineral projects in future. We've been speaking with Fortune Minerals CEO and President Robin Goad. And you've been watching Global One Media's Stocks to Watch. I'm Michael Suedo.